Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Going to get done. I mean, clearly, Mahomes was one of the most important people to get done. And Kettle's one of the second most important people. Deshaun Watson's another one, too. But look at the unique way that Mahomes did his deal, and I don't know if Kettle would be willing to do this. You know, for example, you look at the deal. Sure, it's new money, $450 million over 10 years. But in reality, he doesn't get pretty much anything new in the first 2 years of the contract, because again, he makes the same $27.2 million that he was scheduled to make. It's done differently because you get a $10 million signing bonus, but he really doesn't get his raise until the third year. And now in the third year, the average turns out to be 39.3. So really, how do you view this contract? It's a good one, no question about it, but it is a team-friendly contract. Team-friendly in the sense that they have him for 12 years at $39.8 million on a contract on the extension. And so again, sure, the new money is $45 million, but the deal really is $39.8. And so now, if George Kittle is willing to do a flat thing for the first 2 years of his deal, I guess maybe that can get it done sooner. But it's going to be more complicated because, again, not knowing where the cap's going to be next year and knowing it's not going to go up $10 million, it very well could go down. How do you try to, you know, do a deal and keep everything together? So I think it's going to be tough. But it's going to be tough league-wide for many deals to get done.
John, how much are the 49ers right now, you know, and the decisions they make, how they handle situations like Kittle, Mostert, they're in a little different, you know, stratosphere than they were a year ago. Just is this the cost of doing business, the price of success? How do you evaluate just kind of where they are overall? Because there's been a lot of change and a little bit more, a little less harmony, I think, you know, this offseason than they were used to with Shanahan at the helm.
Yeah, it's clearly the price of success because, and we've watched it with so many teams, and how you handle that price of success. Because when you have good players, you've got to figure out a way to be able to either keep them, get them to contract extensions, and try to keep the core group together. And you can see that they let one of their best players go in a trade, DeForest Buckner, going to Indianapolis, and just to be able to keep Armstead. And you know, now they had to get rid of Matt Breida. They got rid of him for, you know, $3+ million that he was scheduled to make. And there's going to be more decisions like that. And so even though they got some of the best cap people in the league to be able to figure that out, that's the price of success. And so now, you know, will they, for example, be able next year to keep, Dee Ford? Will they be able to keep Kwame Alexander? You know, and then how many deals can they get done to take care of some of the other parts of the core group? That's why Kettle's going to be such an important part of all this, to see if they can get something done. But again, the tough part is they're doing it at the worst possible time because, again, because of the virus, you just don't know so many things. And that's, again, a league-wide problem, but it's certainly a problem for a team trying to keep a Super Bowl team together.
NFL insider John Clayton joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of the virus, a little back and forth. The owners want to put some of the players' cash in escrow in case of worst-case scenarios this year. The players don't want any preseason games. Do you think we'll see any preseason games this summer?
I tend to think not. And remember, this isn't like baseball where it's so contentious. I mean, these are proposals back and forth trying to resolve tough issues because, you know, they did a 10-year deal with the CBA, but also now you have the virus, and it's caused all these revenue problems because the league is going to probably lose $3 to $3.5 million. And of course, you've got to try to see if you're the players, you want the cap to stay as level as it possibly can, but also with the realization that you can have much more injuries, because that's what happened in 2011. In 2011, you come back, you know, no off-season program. You have 10 Achilles injuries in the first 12 days. You have 51 ACL injuries. You know, technically, Achilles tendon injuries doubled in that season compared to 2010, and you had a 44% increase in hamstrings. So now the question is, do you want to risk, you know, putting 80 players or 90 players out there knowing there's going to be more injuries and possible more spread of viruses? So I tend to think in the end, you know, they'll kind of go back and forth on it. But I tend to think that ultimately the owners are going to kind of agree and pass on the preseason games and concentrate on the regular season games. Because the one thing I think we know for sure, how much revenue are you going to develop if nobody's going to be in the stands for the preseason games?
Right. Right. I couldn't agree with you more, Professor. It's having a 48-day training camp. I know as a player, I would rather have that to get my body right, the soft tissue and all the different things, the hamstrings and knees, like you alluded to. Definitely want to, I'd rather do that than have a 2 weeks and then already on the week and already on the field. With that being said, when you see the Niners, the guys that departed from this team, Emmanuel goes to the Saints, Buckner leaves like you alluded to, and now you look at Raheem Mostert and the different things that are going on, Debo gets injured. How much of a setback does this, in your opinion, how much does this setback this team from winning a Super Bowl, getting back to the, you know, to the NFC Championship, losing your number one receiver, and now you thought the Debo's going to be your number one, and now he's out, could be out for a couple weeks during the season. Does this still make you feel comfortable with the Niners as a favorite?
Yeah, but of course, I mean, each day something seems to be going on that gets that Super Bowl hangover even worse. And so, you know, you look at the injuries that have now happened, you know, particularly, we still don't know, you know, if there's any other player that got the virus, to my knowledge,
right,
other than the one player. We don't know what one player was when they're all in Nashville. But, I mean, you can see a lot of things going wrong. And, again, not to a point where it's knocking them down totally, but they're knocked down a little bit. But, again, that's the Super Bowl hangover. It happens when, you know, you go to the Super Bowl, you lose, and then things happen. I mean, still, they're the top team in NFC West. But they keep narrowing it down for Seattle to be right there too. And so, yeah, but that's what happens when you go to the Super Bowl. But I think the concerning thing is, like, okay, what about these injuries? Because, you know, Samuel, that's a very bad injury. Then, of course, another cornerback ends up getting the Jones fracture. He ends up getting cut. So, you know, they have to sign Jamar Taylor. So all of a sudden, you know, things aren't going as well as they did last year, and it's got to be concerning.
John, I want to go back to the financials a little bit in terms of, you know, dealing with the virus and the league and the players. I mean, how do you see this becoming contentious between the two sides? I mean, I know that the economics are very much different than say Major League Baseball or even the NBA, but I think, you know, my belief has sort of been, well, they'll figure it out. They have to figure it out. But could you see it getting, you know, contentious to a point where, you know, there's a significant amount of players that are just saying, hey, I'm not going to play under certain circumstances?
Well, there's going to be some. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I don't think it's going to be as contentious as I think people may be overreading it. Because, like, for example, J.C. Treader, the new president of the union, is doing a really good job, you know, came out one afternoon and was, you know, saying, hey, this is getting worrisome how the owners and the league is not worrying about our protocol and seeing our safety and all that stuff. And literally that night they got a complete agreement on the protocol for training camp. And so, you know, he said the words and they get the deal done. In this case, I mean, you got to try to go through some different things and figure it out. Preseason games or no preseason games, it could be the trade-off, because, you know, remember the owners wanted to have the players come in a week before camp, and the players said no to that. So all of a sudden, if they say yes and for a week early to come in, and then the next thing you know, they say, okay, no preseason games, it's just going to be trade-offs. Like, for example, on the escrow, which, you know, is going to be rejected, The idea is, okay, so how do we borrow money from future caps, or how do we establish flatter caps to make sure that we can make up for the lost revenue so we can keep the cap where it needs to be, you know, close to the 198.2. So, again, this is just negotiations. Again, we're happy to negotiate a little bit publicly because we get to find out what's going on, but I don't think it's going to get too contentious. It's too late right now for that to happen. They need to get this thing resolved.
John Clayton was here on 95.7 The Game. Final question for you. In the wake of the Patrick Mahomes deal, how do you think it shakes down for Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys this year?
I don't think it affects him at all because he's not at that level. I mean, he's, you know, maybe what, arguably the eighth or ninth best quarterback in the league, not the best quarterback. And so I think what will end up happening, and again, this is because of the cap situation next year, Jerry Jones needs to get a deal done. He has seven players right now with cap numbers that total $106 million. If you have to put a $37.7 million franchise tag, that probably is going to be 39 because you want it to be exclusive. Then what happens is that you've got $145 million of your cap tied up in eight players. He needs to get some kind of a deal done, so at $35 million or so that Dak can get his cap number like $24, $28 million, and then try to, you know, work on figuring out the cap for next year. They can't afford to have to hold the franchise tag on him a second straight year. They need to get a deal done.
NFL Insider host on 710 ESPN Seattle. Check out the podcast Schooled with the Professor. John Clayton with us here on 95.7 The Game. Professor, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you.
So when it comes to Raheem Mostert asking for more money, not getting it, and then saying via his agent he would like to be traded, let's go back to this point regarding Kyle Shanahan and the system. How hard would it be to find another Raheem Mostert? Maybe he's already on the roster, maybe he's not. And if he's not, how hard would it be to find another guy who could produce in the manner in which he produces? Patrick Mahomes got $503 million over 12 years because you cannot find another Patrick Mahomes. He is literally one of a kind with what he can do and how he can do it. Given his age, given everything else, that's why he's worth that money. Your value, supply and demand, it's basic economics. So we're not saying Mostert's worth $503 million. We're not saying he's worth zero. What's he worth? And if it came down to having to find a replacement, Lo, how hard would it be to replace what he does?
I think Kyle Shanahan, we know, I'm not going to doubt him. But at the same sense, I'm not, you know, and I know we can go through his history, his father and him and his father. They've had a lot of success, especially when it comes to the running back position, of finding the right guy that can come in and step in and be a, you know, be a very, very good back. So can he find it? Yeah, I'm not going to bet against him, but does he find it? Does he have enough time? How much would it affect his window? The window's open. They were open for business. They can find it without a doubt. Raheem Mostert is a very, very valuable piece of this team. His personality, his special teams, he's a team player. You love the guy. You see him in the locker room. He's around everybody. He's got a good heart. He's got a good spirit. This is not, you know, he's looking at this situation and saying, I'm 28, and he's afraid. Looking at it saying, all right, I got to strike while the iron's hot. I understand that. I wouldn't have had my agent necessarily demand a trade. Wouldn't have did that. I think you try to cool heads prevail. So can he find a guy? Yes, Joe. But does he have time? Do we, with the corona, all the stuff that's going on surrounding this team and just the league this year, just going to be tough. Look at Raheem Mostert's been in this offense now for several years and watching, understanding the scheme. So does he have that guy on the roster now? I don't think so. I do not think so. Looking at the guys and seeing the way they play, I do not think that he has that guy on the roster now. But you ask, can he find him? Yes, he can. I just don't know if they have time to find a guy, especially with the window right now being open for business.
All right, so you've got about a month coming up here, late July to late August, in which traditionally training camps open, practices take place, the preseason commences. There are four preseason games, and then There are what, like two cut-down elements where players On other rosters become available to sign. This year, there's a very good chance there are no preseason games. So you won't get to see good players, or any players for that matter, playing in some of these games to where your pro personnel department can scout these guys and then say, all right, it looks like the Jets have too many running backs. We kind of like this guy. He could be a candidate to get cut. Let's monitor the situation. And if the Jets cut him at the end, we'll scoop in, we'll score, and we'll make him the next Raheem Mostert. It's going to be harder this year unless you have a great department that's already properly evaluated these guys, right? Like, if you have a really good scouting report on all these guys that are potentially going to be out there, once the cutdowns happen, there will be running backs available. That's kind of how they found Raheem Mostert, right? It's not like they needed to draft him in the first round. It's not like they needed to make a big trade for him. He was just out there and got a shot. So, JD, is there a possibility that if this holdout, if this turns into a holdout, and they don't trade him, that by cutdowns at the end of August, you could replenish your running back room with perhaps the next Raheem Mostert?
Yeah, I think the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan specifically probably has a list of 10, 15, 20 running backs all over the league that if they become available, you know, he feels they could plug in and be a fit to varying degrees. Like, I think that deal is done. I think that scouting is done by him, by the staff. Like, regardless of whether he gets to see any of these guys play or do anything in the preseason. I think there's a list. I mean, you got to know if you have an injury or multiple injuries where you would want to go. And every team does that, puts together a board of guys that they think, you know, every team right now has more running backs than they're going to be able to keep on their roster, right? It's just the nature of the math of a training camp roster. So, you know, there are going to be, you know, probably 90 guys that are going to get cut that are running backs. So I think the 49ers have a list of 15 or 20 guys that they would sign in a heartbeat. That's not to say, though, Lo, that any of those guys is going to walk onto the 49ers and be Raheem Mostert. I'm not saying that. But to fill the position and to have somebody that can be at the back end of the roster, those guys do exist.
Oh, yeah. And I totally agree with you. Totally understand that. And the fact is that, you know, you brought in Coleman. Did he fill it? You brought in, you know, McKinnon. Did he fill it? Kenan got injured. Coleman's in there. Did he fill it to the way that they thought that they would? So we're not just going to say everything he touches turned to gold. He's had some hell of a success. But you still, you know, does he have guys? Absolutely. Has the scouting department got guys they believe that can do it, fill that? JD, you're 100% correct. But you got to also think that it's a strong possibility, too, that can those guys do it at the level that he's expecting? He can fill the gap. I get that. But will they be Raheem Mostert? I don't know.
We've spent most of the morning talking about what we would do or what the Niners should do. What do you think the Niners will do? The number's 888-957-9570. If you want to get in, Chilton Auto Body, 888-957-9570. It's the same number for the text line. Today's show is brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking. No compromises. How do you think the Niners handle this? 888-957-9570. Couple avenues. They could grant the request and trade him. They could go ahead and say, you know what? All right, enough's enough. We will give you some more money. And will this make you happy? And then they come to terms and they move on. They could say, we're doing nothing. Good luck to you. And he can hold out or he can show up without a new deal and play. And he'd obviously be upset, but that's the way of the world sometimes. Ultimately, JD, what do you think will be the final resolution between the Niners and Raheem Mostert?
I think he winds up coming in. They don't trade him. They say, hey, we're not trading you. We're going to play hardball. If you want to hold out, that's your prerogative. But you need to show up, and we're not having any conversation about it until you do show up. I think ultimately he will show up and play out the season, and then I think 2020 will wind up being the last year that he's in a 49ers uniform if he outperforms the money that he feels you know, he's worth or that he makes. So I think, you know, with 1 year left on the deal, I think they would maybe look to trade him in the offseason, if not give him a raise. The issue with doing nothing, if you're the 49ers right now, is the fact that he could have a great year, which would be outstanding, but then he's completely priced out. Right. I mean, there is some risk, right, Joe? I mean, if you say, hey, you could bump him up $1.5 million for this year and next year, and then he has a great year this year and you have him for next year. And if he wants to tear up that deal, then you say, hey, look, dude, it's just not happening. You know, we gave you the bump that you wanted. So there is a little bit of a risk there as well, Joe.
I like it. Lo, what do you think ultimately happens? We've all given our thoughts on what we would do. What do you think is the final resolution between Mostert and the Niners?
I don't think the Niners are going to give him one. I'm for the player. You know where I'm going to side on that, Joe, in certain situations. And I've been for the organization at certain situations. On this particular one, I think if you look at, you know, what he's asked to do for special teams, I think that he got paid a special teams contract, whether it was this year, last year, it doesn't matter. I think he got paid special teams money. And, yeah, we can continue to go down that and say what the Niners should do, what they're going to do. I don't think they give. I think Raheem Mostert plays this year. And I don't think they – I just think that they're just going to be like, hey, we got to take care of Kittle. And they will, but I just don't think that the Niners are going to budge. I would if I was them, but I don't think they will.
Is there a middle ground? JD alluded to this at one point where you tweak the contract to include maybe some more incentives, reasonable incentives. Not, hey, if you rush for 2,000 yards, guess what? You get another, you know, $1.5 million. Like maybe you create an incentive that's there's two versions. There's likely to be earned and there's not likely to be earned. A likely to be earned bonus simply is based on something you've achieved in the past. So if you come out and say, and if you did this for LaDainian Tomlinson, right? If you get to 30 touchdowns, we'll pay you an extra $5 million. You say 30 touchdowns, that's insane. That's not likely. It's only happened once. Well, no, it's considered likely for him because he has done it in the past. Meanwhile, conversely, you can bring in a rookie and say, if you get to 100 rushing yards, we'll give you $1 million bonus. Like, man, that's likely to be earned. Nope, he's never done it before, so it's not likely to be earned. The difference, likely to be earned counts towards the salary cap. Not likely to be earned does not count towards the salary cap. So, do you think there's a way they could structure some sort of bonus in there that would be reasonable? Hey, if you get to 750 yards or he hit double-digit touchdowns last year, you say something like if you get to 8 rushing touchdowns, we'll give you another $1 million. Lo, would that be something you think the player might agree to and the team could be okay with and it wouldn't damage precedent to the point where it upsets anybody?
Well, and that's the thing. I know the player would. I really believe Raheem Mostert, if you said, hey, if you get to 700, you had 700 last year. If he gets to 700 yards, then, you know, I wouldn't do $1 million. I'd be like, it's more like $400,000. Okay. And then you get double digit touchdowns, then, you know, it's a $200,000 bonus. Okay. And if you have, you know, 3 or 4 runs over a certain amount of thing, of touchdown, then that receiving, yeah, make him work for it. He wants to work. So I think he can make up to $2 million, but likely not to be earned. So you make it for him to go 1,000. If he gets 1,000 yards, if he makes it to 1,000, gets another 400. So right there, that's 800 plus some other incentives. He can make, you know, an additional $2 million, and some of them, you know, he's not going to make. Make him work. If that's what he's saying, he just wants to be, compensated like the best, then just take him right there to that mark and, you know, and make him earn it. And I think that could be fair enough. So would they do that? I don't know.
JD, what do you think? You suggested it earlier. That could be the middle ground that makes everyone happy.
Yeah, it could be. I don't think that's going to happen. But and to me, it's incentives. There's still a little bit of a belief that the team can control that. Right, Lo? Like the amount of carries that you get, the amount of touchdowns you get, like when you get the ball. Excuse me.
Hang in there.
You can do it, JD.
A hungry dog hunts best, and that's my biggest deal, that a hungry dog hunts best. And, yeah, you can give him those incentives, and you make it tough on him because I think that this is a guy that wants to go get it. Here's a guy that believes that he can do it. So you set the bar high. You sit in there, you sit down with him and say, let's do these things. Send me over some incentives. Look, we got to take care of Kittle. It ain't going to go against our cap necessarily because it's about incentives, likely not to be earned. And if you set those higher that he gets to, then you set it. You set that and give him an opportunity to make it. And if they want to win, Kyle Shanahan's going to do what's right. So if I don't have the money and I don't want to necessarily, you know, get guys upset or do the thing, make it an incentives, give the guy, you know, a bonus, extra bonus, and move on.
I think the way to get it done, though, beyond incentives is just you have to redo the deal and you have to bonus him up front. Like, to me, that's the only way you can do it. It has to be, all right, we're going to redo the deal. Here's your $1.5 million, or here is, you know, $1 million this year and $1 million next year, but we can cut you, you know, and we'll give you a third. You're going to have to sign for a third year, but then we can cut you after the second year. Like, to me, it's going to have to be something like that. I don't think it's as simple as, although it makes sense what you're saying, I don't think it's as simple as, well, here's $400 for this and $500 for that. I think he wants – He wants a bump. He wants, in essence, to be paid for the production that he already provided at a higher level and the production that he's projected to provide in 2020 as someone that's going to be a major component of this offense. So I think aside from his side of it, aside from giving him that legit 1.5 to, let's say, $3 million guaranteed bump over the next 2 years, I don't think he's going to be satisfied.
When we're talking 1.5, 2 million, it doesn't seem like a lot given the landscape of contracts and professional sports. And quite frankly, it really isn't. It really isn't. But it's not so much about the money. Just think of the situation. Mostert goes to the team a year after getting a 3-year, $8.7 million deal. So he just got a new deal. 1 year later, he has a pretty good season. He outperforms probably what everyone would expect with the expectations. He doesn't do what Derrick Henry did. All right. He doesn't do what Nick Chubb did or what Dalvin Cook did or what Alvin Kamara does. Not that. He had a good season in the system. Did a real nice job. Had a record-setting NFC Championship game. So he wants this new deal. He's got 2 years left. He goes to management. He says he wants more money. They say no. So his agent, I believe this was a mistake, puts out the tweet saying they want to request a trade. All right, fine. If the Niners grant the trade, that's one thing. But if the Niners come back to the table and then give him more money, even though it might just be $1.5, $2 million, think about what that can mean for George Kittle. Now, Kittle's already said he's going to be at camp. He can't wait to be with the guys. And that's probably what's going to happen. But if this happens with Mostert, what's to stop Kittle and his agent from saying, you know what? Raheem asked for more money, and you gave it to him. I want more money. It's like, well, George, it doesn't work that way. You want so much more. Okay, I'd like a trade. I'm not saying this could happen, but think about it. He does the same thing. Then what happens? As a Niner fan, who do you side with? Do you side with the organization? No. The organization's jammed up 6 ways to Sunday in that scenario. You're going to have the entire world saying, you did it for Mostert. Why aren't you doing it for Kittle? Kittle's better. He's played 3 years. He hasn't even made $2 million yet in 3 full seasons where he's played an all-pro level. He's everyone's favorite 49er, and you're not going to pay him? That's precedent. That's why you have to be careful. Not so much about the money. It's about the actions. Because you can walk in there and say, if you did it for him, why won't you do it for me? I thought you loved me. I've been producing at a much higher level, and I've been doing it for a longer period of time. That's precedent. 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in. Jason in San Francisco. Jason, thank you for the phone call. Your thoughts on the Raheem Mostert situation. What would you do if you're the Niners?
Well, I believe the Niners spend, I believe they spend all their money all the way up to the cap, and the salary cap is divided by all the players. So if Raheem wants more money, who is going to take less money on the team, or where's the money going to come from?
To answer that question, you have, I think, last I checked, the Niners had about $15 or $16 million in available cap space. So that's money they haven't spent towards the cap yet this year. That places them around 16th in the NFL. So it's about league average. So they wouldn't have to necessarily take it away from anyone who's currently making money. They could just use it, you know, just because they have it available.
I mean, we could be having is, well, where does the money come from? And don't they, if they have it, why don't they don't want to give it to him because they want to give it to somebody else, or they are the Niners cheap? I don't think they're cheap anymore.
Well, it's again, it's about setting precedent. It's not so much the money. Look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh has made it very clear for decades how they do business. If you buy into what we're doing, you put the team first, we will reward you on the back end. Troy Polamalu is an excellent example of this. Polamalu got a ridiculous contract towards the end of his career that he probably shouldn't have gotten given where he was from an age and health perspective and what was left in the tank. But he always did it the Steeler way. And the Steelers make it very clear that if you buy in and do what they want, they will always take care of you. Santonio Holmes got traded. Le'Veon Bell left. Why? Because these were guys who didn't fall in line with that. And that's okay. Not everyone has to buy in. That's not your responsibility. If you don't agree, that's completely fine. But some organizations, they have a way of doing business. You're going to abide by that, or they're going to find a way to move on from you. Because no one can ever come to them and say, well, you treated someone differently, or I was treated unfairly. No, this is how we do it for everyone. You're either in or you're out. The Steelers are a well-run organization that competes every single year because of business practices like that. The Cleveland Browns never compete because they have no idea what they're doing. Their business practices shift every time the wind blows. And if you've ever been to Cleveland, the wind blows quite a bit coming off the lake. 888-957-9570. Back to the phones. Jonathan in San Francisco. Always a pleasure, Jonathan. Welcome to the show. Your thoughts on the Mostert situation.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, you just do what you mentioned, man, the Patriots way and the Pittsburgh way, that's the way to do it. I think that's what Shanahan and Lynch are going to do. They're going to look him straight in the face, and they're not going to blink. Because he knows he's got no leverage. Man, he's in the Shanahan system. And if you're a running back in the Shanahan system, you have no leverage whatsoever. Because it's been known in the entire NFL football universe, that system is what makes a running back. You and I could play in the Shanahan system, we'll get 2 yards, 5 yards. Hey, I watched that tape, the NFC Championship game. He didn't have to, had to make a guy miss. Those lanes were wide open. That's why he set a record. That's why they just kept on running. Because it's what misdirection, and the zone blocking scheme is so beautiful, it's like an art form. I mean, Raheem,
Jonathan,
just go play football, man.
Jonathan.
It's bad optics, it's bad timing.
Jonathan. Why wasn't Coleman running like that? Why wasn't the other guys running like that? Why wasn't Breida running like that? If it's just serious, is why?
No. Breida got loose, man. That's why he's a cheater. Coleman's a little bit older, but you know what? Jet McKinnon's on the roster now, man. If that dude is right, hey, that guy's gonna be highlight reel behind this offensive line and this running team. That's why I'm saying, hey, you got no leverage, man. They could just get a. Hey, we knew about Landis Gary on those dudes, man. They can get you, bro. Hey, get in shape, bro. Lose some weight, man. Shed some pounds, man.
I love you, Jonathan. You're the best.
He had his point. You wanted to counter him, so he answers the counter, and then he tells you, lose some weight, get in there. Go ahead and run.
I knew you'd enjoy that, Joe. I knew you'd enjoy that.
Charles,
good morning,
Steven. Charles in Sacramento. Charles, welcome to the show. What do you think the Niners should do about the Raheem Mostert situation?
Well, I look at this. Mostert is a good running back utility person. You got Coleman, durable. But now you got to watch out. You got Savon Ahmed from Washington. You got to watch out for him because he's a dangerous back that can replace Mostert. Because that's a lot of things people don't understand that Shanahan got these other running backs in there. Then you got McKinney throw out for screens. So Mostert came out at the wrong time to put that out there, but you got to watch out for the Washington Husky running back coming the free agent too. So it's bad timing for Mostert. I love him.
What do you mean? Washington?
They got some other running backs.
Are you talking about in the draft?
Huh?
Which Washington running back? You said Huskies. Are you talking about someone coming out in the draft?
Yeah, the free agent back they got Savon Ahmed.
I looked that up. I'll bring up our lads.
You like him? You like him? He's a pretty good player. You think he'll go?
He's a dangerous person. If you watch his highlights, he does just like Mostert. He waits for the
one
block
cut,
and he got that burst.
That's what Mostert got, that burst. He gets set to the hole.
Salvon Ahmed, is that his name? Salvon Ahmed.
Yeah.
All right, I'm looking at it right now. So, yeah, there's a bunch of names on this. Jamichael Hasty, Josh Hokit, Salvon Ahmed. These are all guys that were signed as free agents that are at the back end of the depth chart. There's some other dudes there. That could be your answer. Damn, look at us getting random tips on the phone. All right, we got to do some
muscles
scouting.
All over his body.
Got to do some scouting here. What do we know about this guy? Ahmed. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Salvon.
5'10", 197, ran 4.65. Well, that's part of the reason why he probably went undrafted.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, hold on. You know, what'd you run?
Bye-bye.
What'd you run?
That ain't Raheem Mostert,
Thank you. I'm turning a 4.6, Joe. Come on, bro.
He ran 4.65. You ran 4.6. What's the difference?
Bro, I'm running 4.6, bro. Not now, but bro, come on.
I know, not now. 4.6 minutes.
Joe.
4.6 pizzas.
Joe. Man, easy, Tiger. You know, so
what could you, just out of curiosity, right now, let's say you had 2 weeks to do whatever you wanted to get ready, not PEDs or anything like that. You just have 2 weeks to diet and train a little bit. What do you think you could run? Good field, good turf, all that stuff. No wind you have to worry about. Perfect set scenario. What do you think you could run if you had 2 weeks to train for it?
Probably like 5 flat, probably.
I think you can get south. You don't think you get south of 5? You still look pretty good.
If I had more time, I could.
How much time to get south of 5?
Oh, a month.
A month? That's not too bad.
Because I'd be running hills. I'd be doing sprints. But I would do 20-yard sprints up a hill. Very, very steep hill. Sprinting up a hill. Boom. And then I'd do 20-yard sprints in sand up a hill.
Blast the quads.
Uh-huh. And then you go on the flat ground. Flat ground, you do 5s, 10s, and 15. That's all you need in the sand. Don't run over 15 yards in the sand. So it's going to be nothing but digging, getting out. 40s is about the takeoff and the get out. So that's what I would do to get that burst, boom, 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 boom. And then once I get out there, now I can get up and just stride, glide. What was that hum for? What was
I'm processing.
I don't understand what was the hum for. I mean, you ask me, I lay it out for you, give you guys
processing.
And I drop.
It's a hum. It's not a positive or negative. It's a hum. Okay, it's a neutral reaction.
I've been working you for a while, Joe, and that hum. I know that usually that hum is okay. What's next?
You know what? You're right. Hum was forget about this guy. This guy's full of it. Running up hills, going out there. JD, you got 2 weeks. What are you running? Have you run 40s before? I'd imagine you have.
Not in a long time. Yeah.
That's okay.
JD, it's still slim the same now. Distance. You'd be wind.
Ain't nothing the changed.
I'm slim now. Yeah. I'm slim now, but I never had speed. Never.
Could you
no
get.
No speed.
You think you could break 6? You could probably break 6.
Yeah,
you're looking lean.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Who do you think would have the fastest time at the station?
I'd give JD a 5-yard head start.
At the station?
Yeah, who at
low.
The station?
Low,
be low?
For sure.
There's
it
no one at the station without, that would just have crazy quickness
it would be
out of nowhere?
It would be low, but Guru would be on the air saying he'll run a 3.9.
Guru's
I ran
big.
A 4. Like, I ran a 3.98.
Oh, Guru's got a ton of size, man. Sprinter is he's got to be
compact.
He's got to be smaller. Like, Guru's big. Low's big.
But
don't we have
I'm
any
powerful.
Small guys? It's all
but
slobs I'm, at the station.
Joe, but I'm powerful. The explosion, and I'm gonna get out. Boom! That's
I'm
that's
a cruise
why I'm running
ship's
them
powerful,
hills.
But if it takes 4.5 hours to get somewhere, what does it matter?
And I'm more used to being a heavy guy too. So it's like I don't. Yeah, I'm a leaner now, but that doesn't mean that I got my legs under me. I need to be running the hills with Low for about a year, and then we'll talk about.
You're running all off balance. Your legs are so far out in front of the body because they're not
exactly.
Used to, well, where's the torso? It's
exactly
it's so light.
It's an IDK. I don't know.
Joe, honestly, I'm putting you at, hey, Joe, true friend, I'm putting you at number 2. I think you'll be, if you and Guru race, true friend, I'm betting you'll beat Guru.
In a 40?
Sure you'll beat, without a doubt, I'll put everything on it that I know you'd beat, Bonte. I'll put everything I got. You'd beat Bonte.
I don't know. I was never fast. I wasn't slow, and I'm not in good shape. I don't need to be in great shape to run a 40.
You don't got
it's only 40
you.
Yards.
Thank
Bring
you.
It.
You know you'll be Bonte. You
I don't
know it.
I don't know that. I don't
Just
know that.
Say it.
I don't
Claim
go
it.
Out and sprint on a regular basis. I was at the beach yesterday. I was jogging a little bit. It was like, all right, this
Bonte's too
a
long.
Bit strenuous.
Pretty
you
weak.
Know he's too long. You
I know that's
you
the thing. The bigger people in the 40, you're right. If you come out low, keep your head
yes.
down, have
yes.
that explosion, that pop right out, and just stay low.
I think
let's set
soft.
That one up. Okay, hey, let
me. I might be able to pull that off.
Yes, we got it. We got the first competition.
Well, no, we don't
Bonte,
have it
call him out.
They agree. They have to agree. Someone has to agree. I don't know. I think I feel pretty confident in that.
Do you think there's a 3-man show? Could be, I think if we did that, try to we would get them. If we did
nah,
a 3-man
default, Dibs would get hurt. We'd have to default. You'd have to hope for injuries on the other two shows.
If we did a 3-man relay,
you're
only
right,
40 yards, only 40 yards, Joe, only 40 yards. If we did a 3-man relay, you think we'd get them?
You're Bonte Steiny and Guru.
Wow, yeah, your guy's show would I think would win that.
Me too. I would put
Lowe's probably the fastest of the group. Going to be the slowest of the 6. I'm probably right in the middle somewhere. So it all comes down to who's the weak link. Like, can Dibs? What is it?
Dibs,
what's the relay? How long?
Putting
is it?
Dibs only 40 yards apiece. I'm putting Dibs last. Dibs is going to run anchor. Joe, you and I are going to give him a lead.
Yeah, I think that's. Yeah,
what do you think? look at.
Sounds awesome. It really sounds awesome.
I think that
I don't
is
know
the play.
Is the right 40 is such
you
a
guys
short
handle
distance.
Business.
Yeah. You guys handle business. Let everybody else fall down. And you're
who you
good.
Winning, JD? Who you got,
and
JD?
Dibs will cruise home. Dibs won't even have to work so hard that he gets hurt. He'll just cruise home because he'll have a nice lead.
I don't know, man. 40 yards apiece, 120 yards in a three-man relay. That's one mistake and it's over. Like, we're talking small sample sizes. We're talking about an MLB season right here. Like, if it was 100, 100, 100, no problem. 40 yards apiece, one fumbling of the baton, and it could be done. It's you know how hard it's going to be to catch up? Dibs and I do not have closing speed. You would have closing speed. That would be
But here's how it's going, Joe. I'm going first, and whoever I'm racing, I'm beating them by 5 yards. And you're going to take off. Joe, you're a perfectionist. I'm like, Joe, go. And you're going to take off, and I'm going
to I'm anal. It's different. It's less cool.
Right, okay. Yeah, you are. I'm going to give you that lead, and then they're going to be straining. They're going to be – so once you're out in front, now what do guys do when they see you out there? They're going to get tight. They're going to be trying too hard, and it's off to the races.
All right.
We got them.
This might be interesting.
And we need – and if Dibs is the anchor, we need Steiny to be the anchor on the other team. Yes. Fonte and Guru can rotate however they want. You guys can rotate however you want, but we need Dibs and Steiny at the end.
You it's like this, don't
Walter
you, Steven?
Walter Matthau running against Jack Lemmon.
I'm loving this.
Steven's fired up right now.
I will happily judge this. I will time it. I'd love that.
All right, we're going to marinate on it. We'll take some calls, too. Who would win in a three-man, 40-yard dash? I don't even know how to phrase it. 888-957-9570. The phone lines are open for that. They're open for the Raheem Mostert conversation. What do you do if you're the San Francisco 49ers? And we got to get to the Giants. Injuries and problems surfacing. How can you have injuries? It's barely been a week. All that stuff's coming up. And what's coming up is brought to you by Mental Health Association of San Francisco.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Big Fish Dinner
on 95.7 The Game.
Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback, spent 12 years in the league. Three of those came in Houston at the same time Kyle Shanahan was there. What makes this offensive system so prolific for running backs like Raheem Mostert? Is it the system? Is it the player? How much is the system? How much is it the player? We'll ask him that in about 15 minutes here on 95.7 The Game. It's great to have you with us. Dibs is out. JD's in his stead. He's going to rock and roll with us for the next couple days. We haven't talked any baseball today, so we'll get back to Mostert in a minute. We've got a lot going on with that. If you want to weigh in, Chilton Auto Body text line is open all day. It's the same number for the phones and the text line, 888-957-9570. And I might as well remind you at this point that today's show is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. JD, you were all over the Giants news yesterday. So good news, it turns out all those COVID tests that they were waiting on, negative. All the tests from Saturday, all the tests from Monday, yay! And then bad news, Posey's not there, and Belt hurt his ankle, or his heel. So where do you want to start? What do you think's going on with Buster? I know it's wild speculation at this point because Kapler doesn't want to talk about it, but do you think he's seriously considering sitting out this season?
I mean, he's either got a personal issue going on, you know, some kind of family or personal issue going on completely unrelated to that he's tending to and then ultimately will return, or he's legitimately deciding if he's going to opt out or not. And he hinted at the fact that he was not a full 100% as far as playing, you know, in this season when he met with everybody on day one on that Zoom call. So, yeah, it was, you know, Gabe Kapler, it was kind of an awkward Gabe Kapler, you know, press conference yesterday. You know, a lot of things he can't say about, you know, players that haven't been there that may or may not have the virus, but because of the, you know, anonymity and all of that, he can't specifically say. He gave a very cryptic response about what's going on with Posey, just saying, you know, out of respect to Buster. The only way I can answer it is it's a personal issue that Buster should address. That's as deep as I can go into it. And then, yeah, you have, you know, Brandon Belt, you know, seen in a walking boot, and he's got a heel issue that just kind of popped up, that has just kind of been around from issues that he's had in the past. Nobody's really doing anything that's that strenuous to where guys should be getting hurt early on, but it just – yesterday was one of those signs, Joe, where you just look at the Giants and you go, man, how is it possibly going to be – How is it possibly going to be anything other than the worst-case scenario for this 60-game stretch?
What's Brandon Belt's legacy? He's got 2 years left on his deal, and then that's probably the end of his time with the Giants. I think it's $17.5 million this year, $17.5 million next, although this year prorated, of course, like everybody. Say those two seasons go in typical belt fashion. They're not great. They're not awful. They're just belt years. What do you think his legacy ultimately is as a Giant? He wasn't with the team in 10, but he was there in 12 and 14. He was a part of the dynasty. I mean, how do you think he'll be remembered amongst fans? What's his legacy?
I mean, two-time champion for sure, which I think is first and foremost. I mean, look, he was good enough to be, and I always say this, Lo, Brandon Belt was good enough to be the six-hitter on two world championship teams. The thing that Brandon Belt never was good enough to be was the three or the four or the five-hitter on a good team. So it's just what he is. He's never been a star. He was never going to be a star, whether that's the ballpark or – you know, the team, or just he was just never destined to be that. He was a quality player, though, and a productive player on two World Series teams. He just was never going to be a carrier. So to me, that's his legacy. If you were looking for him to be this top prospect stud, you know, Hall of Famer, he's never going to be that. But he was a serviceable to good, positive player on a couple of championship teams when he wasn't asked to do anything other than hit sixth.
In the last segment, we were talking about the idea of what kind of 40 times we could produce, and then it spiraled into a wild conversation about racing each other, and then the shows having a relay, a 40-yard dash relay, 40 yards for Lo, 40 yards for Joe, 40 yards for Dibs, going up against the other shows. Guru has called the show. We have Guru on the line. Guru, welcome to the show. It's always a pleasure to get a chance to speak with you. Let me start with this. If you had to run a 40-yard dash right now, or say you had 2 weeks to get ready, what do you think you could produce?
Now, listen, and I love you, JD. I heard that shot you gave me. I liked it. It was pretty good, the 3-9. I got two teenage sons, so we've been working out during the pandemic. So I have done this, let's just say 4.6, 4.7 right now for the old man.
Wow. Now, Lo said himself he thought in 2 weeks he might get himself at 5 flat. So, Lo, if it's you versus Guru early and he's running 4.6, 4.7, the midday show would have the edge. Then it's me versus Bonte, and if we're close, it comes down to Steiny versus Dibs. This is a problem if you lose to Guru.
This is a problem, then. This is a problem.
You think you got a faster 40 than Lo right now?
This is a problem.
I love Lo. He's the pro athlete, and yeah, my athletic achievements have not gone. The ball has not gone in, but never once did you say who wasn't running. I'm 6'3", JD. I'm still long, long stride. I could get the big man in a 40, and I mean that to the core.
Do you, okay, you know what? Hold on, I got to jump in.
Go ahead, please.
This is my fight. Let me jump in. Hold on, you better hold on over here. Now, Guru. Now, look, me and you, we can go run a 400. We can run a 40. You might get me in 100. You ain't beating me in a 400-yard dash. Too strong. We can make a little side wager here. I like to see you.
Let's set it up. And let's do the three-man. Like, I think Steiny could get dead.
No, we gonna win. And if you run into 4.6, I'm going to tell you right now, you beat me.
If Guru's running 4.6, 4.7, I think we're in trouble. Because if Bonte and I are close, then that means...
Good line, Joe. JD said I would say I run a 3.9, but, you know, maturity, I didn't. I'm offended that you guys think I'm that slow.
No, I think top end.
I'm winning
that. Top end, I think you'll get faster because you're longer. Now, here's the thing. Now, Guru, I can tell you right now. I'll put up $5,000 to your 1,000 if you run a 4.6.
Oh, Lo.
Let me tell you.
What I'm gonna do today? I'll do
it. Listen to me. It ain't no way you run. Listen to me, Guru.
The kids feel me. They're gonna feel me.
It's no way you run a 4.6.
Hold on. One at a time. There's a lot to dissect here. We got more than an hour left. We can literally take this all day. Guru, go ahead. You're gonna film it today.
I'll film my 40 today on the gram, and then if it's 4.6, 4.7. 4.8, you'll be like, damn, Boo, okay, you wasn't lying. I've done this during the pandemic. So I'll just throw that out there, Lo. Lo, you think your boy's that slow, a 5, a 4.8, or 9?
Yeah, you're right. Now that I think about it, it does sound insulting.
I'm not trying to insult you. Guru, it's no way you run a 4.6.
But you did.
I'm
going to put it on the IG Live.
Guru,
what time? I'm clearing the schedule.
Let me hold the stopwatch.
I'm going to start drinking. What time are you doing this at? I'm going to start drinking
right
now.
Joe, take the odds. Don't do it, Goo. Listen to me.
4:35.
Goo.
4:35. All right. That's prime drinking hours right there. That's prime drinking hours. All right.
Goo, don't do it.
All right, Goo. Listen, what? You film it today, promote it so that we can promote it as well. We'll take a watch, and then we'll reassess, recalibrate, and we'll get the betting lines out there.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Goo.
Let's do it.
I love you, Goo.
What a wonderful human being that guy is. Love that guy.
He's the best. Joe.
He swung me. I'm picking him over low. He swung me. He comes in with so much confidence, he might not come anywhere close to breaking five. But the fact that he comes in 4-6, 4-7, and he just feels so strongly about it, and he seems so happy all the time.
I love him.
I can't help but side with that. I side with Joy. He's been pandemic sprinting, too. Anyone else been pandemic sprinting? I know I haven't.
I'm sick.
Pandemic,
you know,
eating, chugging, not sprinting. He's got you shook. That's the amazing thing. 16 years in the league, he's got you shook. This is why LT didn't rank you in his top five best friends.
Here's the deal. I will race Google anytime, any place, anywhere. I will drive
You feel that the longer the distance, the more advantage you have. I noticed that you said once it got out to 400, the 400 meters, you felt that there was no chance he could get you. You like the longer distances?
No. Here's the thing. I'm too strong for Guru in the 40. Guru is not. Listen, Joe. Listen to me. Joe, honestly, Joe, I'd buy the dude a house if he runs a 4.6. That's how confident. And you know I don't want to buy anybody out. That's how confident
you
I am.
You'll buy nothing.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
I'll
you
buy him a house if thank he runs 4.6. Guru, did you hear that?
Come on. The dude. JD, listen to me. JD, it's no way. In hell, so you mean to tell me that running back that just came out of the pros that's going to the 49ers ran a 4.6 and Guru's at 40, he's running a 4. Joe, no way. Jerry Rice can't run a 4.6 right now, and Jerry's in good shape. I'll bet anything. Dude, I'm a pro athlete. Why do you think I'm saying I'm barely running a 5 flat?
I'm not a pro athlete.
That's why I said I can't even. You asked me what can I run, and you guys asked me, and I was very, very honest. I'm telling you, I couldn't run a 5 flat right this second.
The text line 100% agrees with you. There is no way Guru. People are really coming down Guru's lane right now, JD.
No way. I love the guy.
This reminds me of, look, there's a precedent here. Like, let's be honest. There's a precedent here with this sort of
thing.
Joe,
you like this, don't you?
Like, Guru is on record as saying he believed he could score on Jordan Bell, on an NBA player. This to me is very much in line with that statement. I can outrun an NFL running back. I mean, what? And I know, though, you've been out of the game a little bit, but, like, there's no chance he would outrun you.
All right, hold on. We're out of time.
JD, you got him fired up.
He played in the freaking NFL for 2 decades.
And we're going to have more on this. Combine results that we should get to next after the break.
Combine results? Okay.
From last year, because these guys that are on there's no way he can beat these guys.
Thank you. That's what I'm...
All right, Sage Rosenfels is next, and we got more on the 40 discussion. We'll take the phone calls as well. We're going to end up, Ford Mall Palace Sportsbook's probably going to be opening up in the next 30 minutes. Joe Lowe and JD back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.